Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Let's get underway.
Saturdays were made for this. The biggest names and the biggest games right here.
Triple M rocks the NRL.
To our mates at King G, welcome to the Triple M Saturday Scrum.
Just nice to spend a Saturday afternoon with you. Just a couple of hours, of course, ahead of Panthers taking on the Sea Eagles from beautiful Carrington Park. 3 o'clock kickoff. Sterler will join us from 2 o'clock, and he'll also call that game. Mark Geyer, Ryan Girdler, Michael Chambers. My name is Tony Squires. Just looking at that Tyre Power scoreboard. Storm over the Sharks, 40-8. The Broncos in a ridiculous game of rugby league, beating the Titans 36-28 after being down 22-0, then 22-all at halftime. The Rabbitohs and the Raiders. The Raiders 3-4 on the trot, 34-20. They went down to the Rabbitohs. All of that lies ahead of us right now, though. It's time for this great man.
Read his mail.
Brent Reed, lovely to chat to you, my friend. What glorious sporting field are you treading as we speak?
I'm on the silky pastures of Curl Curl. I had an early morning game this morning with the young kids. Mm-hmm. Came from 2-0 down, drew 3 all. Gutsiest damn thing I've ever seen, Tone. Wow. And now the older boys are about to have a dip.
The glory of a draw.
Yeah. Well, the Barcelona of the beaches, they don't lose to me. They're a bit downhearted at 2-0.
But they lost last week, though, Reedy, didn't they?
Well, they did, but I wasn't there, to be fair. So.
Oh, okay.
I think that's someone else's fault.
Oh, they respond to the abuse you throw from the sidelines, do they?
Exactly, yeah. I held them down the training this week, made them run laps. Sandhills are curly, made them run.
I love it. Say it again, nothing wrong with a draw when both sets of fans go home disappointed. It's just the best. Reedy, what is happening now with all these movements or alleged movements of players all over the shop? The big story had been that Kalyn Ponga was being thrown lots of cash money to head north to Brisbane. Happening. Talk me through it.
Well, I mean, I mentioned a couple of times this week on various shows, including ours on Thursday night, that Brisbane would keep an eye on Kalyn Ponga. Now, just to go back over it, Tony, he's got options for 23 and 24, which means he's effectively off contract in 18 months' time, which means he can go to market on November 1.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously by then we'll know whether there's another Brisbane team coming in the comp, and the Bronx will have a bit more idea about how their salary cap's placed. And the Knights actually responded to that this week by putting Kalyn Ponga up. And Kalyn said, look, I love Newcastle. I want to win a competition here. I'm not sure where all this is coming from. I'm telling you, it's coming from the Broncos, who have talked about him internally. And until the Knights get him locked away on November 1, the clock's ticking. Because, look, I mean, obviously the new Brisbane franchise will be interested in Kalyn Ponga. The Broncos will be interested. But it goes beyond those two clubs. I think he's such a good player and such a high-profile figure that, you know, no matter how many times, you know, Kalyn speaks leading up to November 1, until he takes up the option and puts to bed the chance that he's on the open market on November 1, this is going to be a story. And, you know, it's got the potential to become a huge one because Kalyn's spoken about the All Blacks in the past. You know, there's a World Cup in 2023. He's effectively off contract in 2023. So, you know, I think it's a story that'll keep our eye on over the next 6 months. I think it's got the potential to really explode getting close to that November 1 cutoff.
Hey, Reedy, anyone that saw the debut last week of Reece Walsh for the Warriors would be asking the question of how the hell did the Broncos let that guy go? He's a ball-playing fullback. He's playing six this week. He seems like the ingredient that they need at the moment. Now, could they not go with the offer from the Warriors, or how did he slip between their fingers?
Well, you know, it's interesting because I was talking to a recruitment guy at another club this week, and he said, look, he feels a bit of sympathy for the Broncos because, as a development club, they're constantly having to make decisions about who they keep and who they let go. And they've had that situation with Tommy Dearden, they had it with Sam Walker, and you know, they've had it with Reece Walsh as well, where they've had to make calls whether they want to match the offers offers on the table from other clubs. The issue with Reece Walsh was that the Warriors made him a really big offer.
Yeah.
And he's an 18-year-old kid. They knew he was a talented kid. But, you know, I think they decided at that point that their priority was more half. They needed to find a half rather than, you know, if they were going to throw $300,000 or $400,000 at Reece Walsh, it would have impacted their ability to chase a half. And we see now, you know, they're chasing every half, every high-profile half in the game. I think my belief is that their priority is Mitchell Moses.
Mm.
I think they think if they can sign Mitchell, that's the guy they'll get. The issue is he's going to be harder to sign, I think, than Reynolds and Johnson. So that's why those guys are also well and truly on their radar. But I think they thought, yeah, basically they had to make a decision. And they had to make a decision whether they match the Warriors' cash for Reece Walsh.
Yep.
And they decided not to do that. Now, they might live to regret that. I mean, what we've seen, they probably will.
But yeah, but, yeah, but does that mean that they, obviously another key position is fullback. Now, does that mean that they see Asako as a long-term option at fullback? I mean, he did some nice things at the back end of the game last night, but he's a ball runner, and there's certain parts to his game that probably need a fair bit of work. He could also go on the wing. Now, is he their long-term solution at the back? Because that's an investment they need to make as well.
Well, I think the jury's still out there. You know, I think if they get a decent half on, you know, maybe look at the hooking position and, you know, Jake Turpin's doing a pretty good job for them, but I think if they could get Brandon Smith, they'd certainly be interested in him.
Mm.
Then maybe fullback's less of a priority. But, you know, as I said, you know, if Kalen gets to November 1, and there's a chance, there's an interest from him in potentially going back to Brisbane, and I'm told that Kalen, if he was to leave Newcastle, Brisbane is one of the places he would go. Now, that would be to the Broncos or the new franchise, because I'm told his family enjoys Brisbane. Now, you know, if Kalen Ponga was potentially available on November 1 to speak to, I'd be stunned if Brisbane don't talk to him. So I don't think the fullback position's bedded down for that club in any way.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can enjoy Brisbane too, but you can also leave after enjoying it. Now, what about... hello to our Brisbane listeners. Hello. What about expansion? It's a concept I'm personally embracing. I'm now wearing size 38 pants. So what's going on?
Well, it was a big meeting on Friday, actually. The ARL Commission had a meeting on Friday where they talked about expansion. Basically, what they did was they plotted how this will unfold, how the next month or month and a half will unfold, and they laid down the criteria how the three bidding parties will be judged. Basically, I can tell you that criteria is junior numbers, participation, facilities, finances, the things we'd expect they would judge them on.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, that's what they did Friday. It's full steam ahead. They got an interim report, as I understand it, not the final one, interim report. But at the, you know, they were obviously wedded to expansion. It's a big couple of weeks because the expectations of Peter Vlandis and Andrew Abdo will go up to Magic Round for the week. They'll visit the current NRL clubs, but they'll also speak potentially to those three franchises bidding into the competition. And they've now got a framework for how that'll unfold and what those teams will have to do to convince the NRL that they're the franchise that should be chosen to become the 17th team.
All right. Oh. Okay. All right. The other names that have been thrown around in terms of movement, Moylan, Gareth Widdop and the Broncos.
Well, everyone's getting thrown at Brisbane at the moment. And, you know, I mean, obviously, I mentioned the three halves. They're desperate or keen to sign one of. But, you know, there's alternative plans for them. That, you know, Matt Moylan and Gareth Widdop have been offered to them as well. Widdop's obviously in England at the moment. And potentially looking to come home at the end of the year. Well, it looks like he will. And Matty Moylan looks a bit like the odd man out at Penrith at the moment. So, Cronulla, sorry, at the moment. So both those guys as well have been offered to the Broncos. Now, it'll all hinge on whether they land a big fish. That's their priority at the moment. But those guys are potentially could come on the radar if that doesn't happen.
All right.
Reedy, there's a little bit of a rumour going around some of the media circles that says that apparently you're going around saying you're going to put the mic in Magic Round when we go to Brisbane in a couple of weeks. Is that true?
Oh, I better start doing some crunches and sit-ups. I'm like Tony, man. I'm into expansion.
Oh, expansion.
It is the way forward,
hey,
people.
Don't worry. There was plenty of expansion about Mike too when he got going.
Storm, too good for the Sharkies, 40 points to 8. I'd like to just focus a little bit about the Sharks, what it means, their season, which is obviously one that's been in turmoil coaching-wise. They came out in that first half, Gerds, they led at halftime, yet by the end of the game they were down, as I said, 40 points to 8.
Yeah, a couple of big inclusions, Wade Graham coming back after a couple of weeks, and MG and I called that game last night, and we were watching him in the sheds before the game, and he was laying down the law, so lots of emotion. Will Chambers' debut down against his old club in Melbourne too, so
I think there would have been a little lip there from either of the parties.
He looked like he was obviously one game back in Reggie's last week, and then a couple of years in rugby.
He got the bin, I think, for
and punch as well last week in the Reds.
Did he?
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, you know, with Sean Johnston coming back last week. So he was had a run under his belt, and they looked really good in the first half, played super expansive. But when you go down to Melbourne, you got to do the little things right, which I think they did in the first half. You know, you kick chase and you're putting pressure on their kickers, and they've rattled the Storm up a little bit. But you've also got to own a couple of big moments, and that's where the Storm got them in the end. Townsend in the second half, early on in the second half, was heading down a short side. I think the Sharks led at half time, was heading down a short side, and he had a 3-on-2, and he came up against Jerome Hughes, and he had to hit one of his players on his outside, and they scored the try in the left-hand corner of the Sharks, and Hughes just read it, and he's in fine touch
at the moment.
And he went the other way, and they scored on the back of that intercept, and then from that moment on, it was all the Melbourne Storm. But, yeah, Jerome Hughes, MG at the moment, everything he touches turns to gold.
He certainly does, Gerds. Yeah, he's one of them, I think, one of the most improved players in the whole competition. He seems to go from strength to strength. He's Look, his organisation skills are fantastic, but his running game, that try he scored last night against the grain,
yeah,
seems to score like once every couple of weeks like that try. He goes to pass it out the back line, then he just goes back on that angle, back towards the under the post, and no one seems to be able to touch him. He must have an amount of speed up his guy, but then he goes bang. I'm going, because he must be quicker than a lot of people think.
I think
as soon as John Morris was vacated the premises, that was, you know, doomsday for the Sharkies. I don't think they were going to recover from that. Last night, the first 40 minutes, as Gerd said, they showed some spirit. They showed some tenacity. They showed some skill. But you've got to do it for 80 minutes against a team like Melbourne Storm. And most teams in this competition who are fit, like Melbourne. Melbourne, Penrith, South Sydney, and Parramatta, maybe, and maybe throw the Roosters in as in that lot as well. But I think one of them five teams will win the comp.
Hamlin Ewele, he was running straight at Harry Grant early in that game. And then, of course, he came off with that syndesmosis injury. I'm not sure what the latest is with that. But they were targeting Harry in defence. He's a tough kid, though, isn't he? He got a bit of sternum problem. Then something happened with his finger. I don't know what the result was, that whether it was a dislocation or whatever. But he played on and just kept getting stronger and stronger and starting the game as well.
Just puts himself in the contest.
Yeah.
Some of his subtleties around his dummy half play, I don't think, right, you know, people really understand. You've got to watch him really closely, and the space that he gives the forwards coming onto the ball, and then guys like Hughes and Munster, and when he gives them the ball and where they get the ball, he's always out in front. A couple of tries he set up got them back. Really, they were struggling to sort of come up with the big plays, Melbourne. They didn't click into gear early, and then just a couple of tries on the back of just some Harry Grant brilliant around dummy half that was simple, gave him a little bit of confidence, and they built off the back of that, and then they started winning the momentum in the middle third of the field, and then they just started dominating. But he's a special talent.
Yeah, he is. Wade Graham, do we know what he came off? Obviously, that's nature. I understand he wasn't concussed, didn't he?
No, he's had, obviously, concerns in the past. Two concussions in 15 days leading into that game, and he was given some time off. But he passed the HIA and is expected to play next week, Wade Graham, which is good news, given that we've seen Tedesco rested for the Roosters, and there's been... Yep. Quite a bit of talk around concussion.
We joked a little bit earlier with Dale Finucane about the goal kicking and Munster and the lack of success, but that is something that, with Ryan Papenhuyzen when he's not there, that can be a bit of a struggle for them. They play South Sydney. I don't think Papenhuyzen's going to be there next weekend. He might be back.
Yep.
Because obviously turning four and a six is crucial at this stage of the season.
Can I ask you, Mick, on you just spoke about Tedesco not playing this week. Who's going to fill in at fullback? Do you know yet?
Look, it won't be Joseph Suwala.
It won't be Suwala.
From what my understanding is, that the Roosters just want to be very cautious, and they know
Manu will go back to fullback.
Well, I think that's the logical. Or you could play Brett Morris as well.
But would Suwala even get an opportunity in the centres if they moved Manu back, or are they just not going to play him till the back end of the year?
I think they're reluctant. The hype around him at the moment, they just want to look after the kid and make sure that they don't burn him out. Now, he's obviously going to play this year. I wouldn't be surprised if he just plays a handful of games at the back end of the year. Potentially, he might even be 18 by the time he plays. So it sort of defeats the purpose of
So he's been named in 21.
He's been named in the 21.
How's he tracking, though, in second division?
He looks good in what we've seen from him in Cup, and I think the Roosters are impressed with him. I don't think they're concerned about him being able to handle the NRL. I just think they're worried about the hype around him at the moment and trying to do what's best for him long term. Mm-hmm.
But because they've got this kid, Sam Walker, who's only 18 now and who's had all these questions asked of him. I mean, last Sunday, at the SCG for that Anzac Day game, I was sitting there and thinking, as the whole process beforehand, the ceremony, which was done beautifully again, I was watching and thinking, gee, how would it be to be an 18-year-old kid and coming out and into that? I mean, yeah. It's going to be so tough. It's going to be really hard for him. And then he just destroyed it.
He did. Wow. He's so cool, calm, and collected. And I'm hearing there might be a little inkling that Suwali might be included in this weekend. I don't know. You know more than me, Chamo, but I'm hearing that maybe, yeah, I think that obviously Joey Manu will go to fullback, and he might go to one of the pick and swings or something or in the centres. So I think if he's good enough, he's old enough. I think, you know, I've seen him in some Canterbury Cup games. He's a big specimen of a kid. He's, you know, 6'4" and a half, close to 100 kilos, if not over it. And he's got a presence. And in that Roosters team, who would look after him, I think it's the perfect time to give him a go. I think it's just to give the boost to the competition as well. I think him having those young kids in the competition, this young guy from the Broncos who went over to the Warriors, another 18-year-old, Sam Walker, Joseph Suwali, who isn't 18 yet. I think it's just fantastic that we can accommodate these kids at such a young age.
The Triple M Saturday Scrub for King G. Triple M rocks footy.
Indeed it does on a Saturday afternoon. Now I'm looking at that Tyre Power scoreboard at Tyre Power's huge store-wide super sale. Buy three and get one free on Kumho passenger and SUV tyres. The Rabbitohs over the Raiders, 34-20. The Raiders did suffer from missing some players, obviously, some big names, including their halfback in the warm-up. There's nothing worse than the guy who's leading around the park in the warm-up suddenly not being available for the game.
No, already missing a few key elements to their side, the Raiders, and with their backs against the wall, coming off three losses in a row. I can't remember the last time they've lost, now four in a row. Mm-hmm. They needed a result. They needed a performance. And look, I think the effort was there, coming up against a red hot Rabbitohs have won 7 out of the last 8. So they knew that they were going to come, who they were coming up against. And they did the basics right in the first half. I thought the Raiders and the energy and the effort was good. They were physical, but they just lacked a little bit in the execution. Just when it got down to, you know, go and try for try with the Rabbits. The Rabbits were just in sync and found a way.
Papalihi, now he was rested, I understand, rather than being injured. I guess that's something that does happen enough from time to time. He's given so many players out, that's just another massive hole.
Yeah, he spoke about it before the game in regards to why. He just needs to, yeah, I think Josh said that he needs just to think about other things than football at the moment, yeah. Which, look, I understand he's had a big off-season. He had the fight, come straight into it. You just worry going forward. We're now starting to think about the Raiders and whether they're even going to make the 8, mm. Which is probably unfathomable at the start of the year, to be honest with you. And I just don't know going forward, you know, the pressure on Jack Whiten and George Williams and that combination with their 9. Like, Josh Hodgson has obviously been a tremendous player for them at the moment. There's things that Tom Starling does that you just look at that in parts of the game and think, perhaps they need to use that combination a bit better. I'm not saying they need to get rid of Josh Hodgson or anything, but I just feel like they last year played a lot of good football when Tom Starling was on the field.
Yeah, missing Clockstar tremendously too. Sean's Nickel Clockstar, he's been one of them guys who has been a staple for them for the last couple of seasons. He runs close on 200 metres a game. He injured his neck against the Panthers about 3 weeks ago, which is kind of... coupled with the, Hodgson being rested and Croker now being rested and Papali being rested. It's worrying signs for the Raiders. It is. And I watched them the other night against South Sydney and I thought, you know, this is a bit like probably the Sharks last night. They played that first half with a lot of spirit, and that's all you can ask of a rugby league team, because if you don't play with spirit, you get your asses kicked. You really do. You can't, there's no way to hide in footy, and that's what, you know, the Broncos weren't. Obviously, we watched the Broncos last night. They played with spirit, and rugby league is all about that. All about biting down your mouth guard and saying, come on, boys, let's get in there and have a dig. But at the moment, I just can't, there's no creativity, especially George Williams hurting his hamstring before the game. That's criminal.
Yeah.
They're in the back. They're always on the back foot. And South Sydney Girds, as you mentioned, they're running hot. Adam Reynolds kicking, you know, goals from the sideline, dictating play. Cody Walker, just thanks very much. I'll go to fullback and just play as good as I can at 5'8" as well. Their forward pack, it's it was light and shade when you watch that second half against the South Sydney Rabbitohs and the Raiders. And I'm with Mick. I'm thinking now that the Raiders might have missed the eight.
Well, they're in that. It feels like, Tone, that they're in a transition period at the moment because
has the window closed? You reckon, Gerds?
Well, the game changes over the last couple of years, and they've always had a dominant number nine who's been able to sort of control the tempo of the game from that position. Now, and Jack's always been a running six, and they had Aiden Caesar as a running sort of seven, and they've got a similar sort of setup to that with George Williams. Now they're both kind of running halves. So they need the control from the middle, from the nine position. And obviously Starling, to me, looks like he's more of a running player as well. And when Josh has been there over the last probably 18 months, he hasn't had the same impact or influence as what he did a couple of years ago when he really controlled things from that position. So I think Kotariki, and I understand it, would seem a little lost. He's dropped Josh Papali. He's probably not getting what he needs to out of, some of the legends at the club like Croker. Whitehead, these guys that he's relied on for such a long period of time to get results aren't performing. So what does he do next?
Do you think the Raiders underestimated the loss of John Bateman?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
It feels as though they're missing that heart and soul of the team.
Yeah, they'd love to have him back, Mick. I think a lot of clubs in Sydney would love to have Bateman back in their team, in particular the Raiders. But, yeah, that's a big loss for them. And
it was all elbows and knees. It was well, the team's off, didn't
he? Well, he just broke down defence because you couldn't coach, you couldn't sort of train for what he did as a defensive unit. He was a guy that just created something out of nothing, and they've got players that can do that. But at the moment, I don't think anyone really knows what they're trying to do, what their style of attack is, and what's going to work for them best.
Apparently, Ricky had planned to watch it from the box, but given all the changes and then with injuries in the warm-up, as we said, he moved down to the sideline, basically that kind of a motivational thing, which he does down there. What he saw, obviously, from listening to the conference after the game, he wasn't completely happy. And it wasn't just with his own side. He wasn't happy, again, with some of the officiating. Just a little snippet of what Ricky Stewart had to say.
This has been happening a lot this year to us, but it's... I look like a whinger, which I don't really give a shit about, being labelled the whinger. But when you get a game out there where it's 8-1 in penalties, I just think that's probably needs a discussion.
8-1 in penalties against the Raiders. They did, though, have, I think it was 7 blot in terms of set restarts to them. To them. So, they managed to get the ball.
So they had seven tackle sets.
No, 7 set restarts.
Well, they're always on the first play anyway, aren't they?
Yeah, that's true. They are always on the first play.
Can we dig into this set restart thing a little bit more and try and get some clarity around it? Well, I don't understand it.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, we watched the game last night, and every time a side kicks, chases, the first tackle, it's a mandate. They need to give away a penalty. They hold down to try and slow down the opposing team getting away to a good clean start to their set of six.
So, MG, you think that should be a penalty, don't you? You
know, I
think
straight away.
Yeah.
First or second tackle, if you get 6
away.
It's now a ploy.
Okay, so but it only happens on the first play because you see similar incidents later on the tackle count that they just let go. Well, so there's no consistency around it.
But aren't players more reluctant to lay around and hold down on tackle 4? They don't want to give away the set restart on 4, 5,
absolutely.
6. It's only in the early ones where they go, yeah, well, this is okay. It's only one more tackle.
Yeah. But it's always in that corner, Gert. What if you had a system where if you give away a penalty inside their 20, well, the opposition's 20, and then you give away a penalty, you piggyback downfield and you're starting your set halfway. I think you need to deter clubs from actually giving away that set restarts because they can afford to set their line. You know, when they're only 10, 15 metres out of their try line, they can reset and give away a tackle.
There was a moment in the game last night that we were calling between the Storm and the Sharks where I think the Sharks players didn't even know. They got so many set restarts in
five in a row.
They didn't know what tackle it was, and they kicked
tackle
on the second.
Tackle -4.
They didn't kick it on the second, but it was their fifth tackle.
All we needed was Benny Hill music.
Written by the late great Boots Randolph. Just a bit of trivia for you. Who wrote the theme from Benny Hill?
We're thinking of your boots.
Yeah. Absolutely well done, Boots. The other thing Ricky wasn't happy about, of course, was that were the two obstruction calls that denied Jack Whiten two tries. Now, obviously, sliding doors. If the first one's awarded, maybe the second one isn't. But that would have got them well and truly back into the game at the back end of it. They seemed okay, though, the calls. As difficult as it is to, you know, believe that, you know, somebody lying on the ground is an obstruction, but that is a valid, you know, he's on the ground, the bloke couldn't get to him. And the other one, of course, Benji Marshall deciding that he will just make sure everybody knows somebody hasn't run through the line by running into his back.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, it's an obstruction, but Benji sold it very well. He's played the game long enough to know exactly what he was doing in that situation. It's hard when you can't really argue with the Jack Whiten one either. The game was set up there, and you can see Jack, as soon as he scored, he knew that wasn't going to be a try. You can tell the players straight away when they know that's going to come and get called back.
Yeah.
All right, Wayne Bennett. One of the things I just don't like coming into the game, when I heard it again last night, and the referees say it all the time, it's kind of like just part of their narrative now. It's milking. Well, penalise the bloke. Like, if you know he's milking something, or if you know he's trying to display that, like, when did milking come in? When did milking become one of the buzzwords in rugby league? We're not on a farm.
But all he's saying there, the referee, is that he's not going to award a set restart because the player with the ball is trying to milk, you know.
Yeah, I just...
you don't like it?
I don't know. I might like it. I don't like hearing milking all the time.
No, of course. It's disturbing. What about Wayne Bennett? The super coach, obviously, Benji Marshall last week played, you know, it was an absolute masterclass. Wayne didn't think he was so great this week, but this is what he had to say.
Wayne, another second half comeback, gets the job done. What did you like out of that performance?
Not much.
Defensively, is that the primary concern after leaking against the Gold Coast and another 20 points?
Yeah, sure. I mean, we're just mentally not strong enough at the moment with our attitude. We were good for a month there, but we've just gone back into the old habits.
Attack-wise, it just seems to flow so easily and naturally. Record-breaking points haul through 8 rounds. What's your...
It's only flowing for 20 minutes, 25 minutes. That's all we've played for tonight.
Wayne, you said you're playing well for 20, 25 minutes. What do you put the 55 minutes down to not playing?
You're allowed to ask them questions after the game, aren't you?
Yeah.
Well, ask them. They got the answers. I don't have the answer. I'm just disappointed the way we play.
One thing you can't fault, Adam Reynolds and his right boot. It's pretty impressive.
Chasing the record.
I don't know. I didn't know he was chasing a record.
You should watch the TV more often. You're better informed.
Hands are right, Benji Knife
is falling. Yeah. I think Benji was reading about himself all week. I thought at 36 you didn't do that anymore.
I know. We ask every week about his contract situation.
Well, ask again. You're going to get the same answer.
You can't let him go, surely.
I'm just one of the club, mate. I'm not the club.
Oh, don't you want him at a dinner party? It's so great.
Pretty scathing attack on Benji, wasn't it?
Don't you think?
I hadn't heard that until just then. Look. I don't know what Benji was like this week. Obviously, the praise after the performance in the centres the week before was quite high. But, yeah, if I'm Benji, I'm taking note of that. I don't think – see, if it was another coach, you'd start a war between Benji and the coach. But Wayne has that relationship with him that it's going to – look, let's be fair, Dinkum, last year when Madge dropped him, that was the beginning of the end for Benji at the Tigers. Now, I think what Wayne did there would – if that was Madge, it would have sparked such a, you know, a similar reaction from Benji. Be interested to see how he comes back from that and whether that affects his desire to keep going, because we know that South Sydney want him to play on next year.
But do people who play for and under Wayne Bennett understand that most of the time at his media conferences, it's just cabaret?
Tongue in cheek.
It's not real.
They're playing Melbourne this week.
Yeah.
So that's Wayne. That's Wayne getting the boys. That's Wayne getting the team ready to play Melbourne on Thursday night.
Yeah,
that's
it started. It started after that game.
Yeah, 100%.
Because Benji wasn't that bad.
No, Benji, the ball he threw to Alex Johnson for a try was one of the best I've seen in rugby league. He's still got so much skill. And I don't know what, I just think it's all
they need to be better, though. They need to be better against Melbourne. He knows it. And look, I think the Rabbitohs are just in that position. They've got so many attacking weapons that they can have a sort of a poor game. And we spoke about during the call, sometimes they're not the best team on the field, but they get the result. And there's not a lot of teams in the competition that can be that way. And they're just one of those. They can just only play for 20 minutes in an 80-minute contest. And they're that good that they score enough points in the 20 minutes that it puts them in the front at the end. And I think they're relying on that a little bit. And I think Wayne's identified that, and he knows that. The two sides that have beaten Melbourne so far this year, Penrith and Parramatta, did so, I think, in the 70-something minute.
And then with the Addo Carr, Olam passes to Addo Carr. They beat Penrith at Penrith. And I think it was a night in the wet where Sivo took a pass, took a kick at Parramatta, yep. and they beat him in the dying stages as well. So it's an 80-minute performance against Melbourne or nothing to get the job done. So he's preparing them now.
Be a great game next week. Still seven in a row for the Rabbits. I love the coach talking about
That's
that.
Great.
Triple M rocking the footy on a Saturday afternoon. Now, look, it is getting closer and closer to State of Origin. We'll look into Queensland next week. But what we thought we'd do is not just pick a team at the moment. We've set the task for MG and for Ryan Girdler and Michael Chamis. Obviously, you can just jump in from the sidelines and abuse them.
Third man in.
Yeah, exactly. we want your locks, those who are there. They've got their jerseys now. And then some bolters who may not have.
I've just got Victor Radley and Isaiah Yeo.
That's all you got.
I need to hit the books.
Okay. All right, we've lost. MG, you still with us?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yes. Okay. All right, then, Ryan Girdler, if you wouldn't mind kicking us off, have you got a team? Do you want to hear the team from 2020?
No.
Okay, well, there you go. don't need my help.
Well, I've got Teddy locked in at the back.
Yeah.
I've got Nathan locked in at seven. I've got Tommy locked in. I've got Payne Huss locked in. I've got Jack Whiten locked in. I've got Latrell Mitchell locked in. And I've got Jake Dubojevic locked in.
In what, the centres?
Where are you Jake? Playing? No, Jake's
You've got Jake, sorry,
centers.
Not Tommy.
No, Tommy's locked in the centres. Yeah, yep. I'll have him as right centre.
Mm-hmm.
Then I've got some questions around, you know, Victor Radley's got to be there somewhere. Tarek Sims is playing well enough. Angus Crichton, Tyson Frizzell, Cameron Murray, Dale Finucane, Saifidi and Yeo. So I think they're guys that are
some back row
fighting off for different positions.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Brian Toto will be on the wing. So I'm not sure whether you would consider
him
a bolter.
Have you locked
him yet? No, I've got him as a kind of a bolter,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah. Yep.
And the other bolter that I have who'd start in the back row on the left-hand side for me in replace of Boyd Cordner, who's not there, would be Kalal Matangi, born in Sydney, played for Mascot in the juniors, played in the residents 2019 side, and I think he's one of the form back rows of the competition. And I think I'd have him out on that left side next to Latrell in the centres and next to Jack Whiten, and I think that'd be a fantastic left side for
okay.
us.
I agree with what you said about Kalal Matangi. Unfortunately, a missed tackle on Whitehead the other night really stood out. And that's kind of the thing that Freddie and the coaching staff will be looking closely at. Everyone can attack in this New South Wales team. It's the defensive efforts that are going to be most important. I think Tedesco is definitely
a lock.
The Fox is a lock. Tommy Turbo, if he stays fit, is a lock. Nathan Cleary, Damien Cook, and I would say Payne Haas are the locks. I would say then Pappenhausen. We hear his name at number 14. Isaiah Yeo probably would be locked forward, or if not Cam Murray, then the other one would be on the bench. Second row is the one, I suppose, that's up in the air. At the moment, I suppose Tyson Frizzell and Angus Crichton are the two back rowers. I'd probably Spencer Lenu is getting a couple of mentions as well. A bit like Liam Martin did this time last year. Well, not this time, but when Origin was played last year. So he'd be a bolter. Brian Tottle would be a bolter. Jerome Luai would be my bolter, but.
Yep.
Dudes, I noticed you didn't have Damien Cook in there. He's not a lock.
No, he's not a lock for me yet, Cookie. I think Api Korosau comes back today for the Panthers and has still got enough time, I think, to put his hand up. I think Cookie's been solid this year. I think we're coming up against a red-hot Queensland side, especially through the middle with their creativity around that spine with Harry Grant, Kalen Ponga, Munster, and Cherry Evans. So you need to think about that combination at club level with Nathan Cleary and Api Korosau. And we're going to need to score points in this series. And I don't know, Cookie's done a great job for the last couple of years, but I think I'm just not willing to rule Api out at this point.
And you think Latrell Mitchell, I know he's having conversations again with Brad Fittler. There was some sort of, I don't know whether it was a falling out or whatever it was. It happens between coaches and players, obviously. It's good that they're in conversation. He's only going to have, 2 weeks once he gets back from this suspension to get back into the swing of things?
Yeah, I think he's just a player that, you know, we need. If we've got an advantage in this series, I think it's going to be out wide and we need to put our best players in there. And I know we're going to have four or five fullbacks involved, but they're just all great footy players that can do a great job for us wherever they're put. And I'd have him in my left centre spot.
That'd be my dream team back line, I would say, that Tedesco, Luttrell and Tommy Turbo in the centres with Fox and Brian Toto. I think you can get away with having shorter, if they are shorter, wingers than... That's the rules. Tupu out because I think with Luttrell and Turbo, they make up for it. And then you've got the 5-8 position, which Cody Walker's the incumbent. He's done nothing wrong. They keep talking about Jack Whiten. I think Jack might be on the bench somewhere because you'd need him in the team somewhere. But yeah, Jerome Luai, if he goes well again today against Manly and keeps on that trajectory that he's been playing, he's going to be right in the frame.
Yeah.
He's going
to be you can't get enough fullbacks to play centre in State of Origin, can you?
No.
We come back.
A lot more.
We'll say goodbye to Gerds on the Saturday Scrum.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum. The King G. Triple M rocks footy.
Yeah, it's that time of the day when we say goodbye to Ryan Girdley, not hanging out with you, Mick Fanning this week
No, just going home. We got to put a beehive in this morning, so I'm going home to look at the bees. One of my youngest one got stung already.
Well, Father's of the Year, well done.
Yeah.
What do they say, you play with fire tone?
We're playing with bees.
How many you got?
I think there's a couple of thousand in there.
Always been a, what are they called, a topiarist?
You can call me whatever you like, Tone. No, I've never been a...
I've never been a beekeeper before,
but...
You say a tightropeist?
Anyway, it's been great, boys. Going to collect some honey.
And just talk me through before that. Mick Fanning last week, I didn't even get that story last week. You hung around with him, is that right?
Oh, well, Mick was down from... He's an old Penrith boy, yeah? So Mick was down for the Narrabeen competition, and we caught up a couple of times, and it's good to see him. He's got a young family now, so...
Young Xander.
Exactly. You take them around, get them stung by bees just to show them.
That's right, Tony. Hey, you're welcome anytime.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot, and strong. Install a Ream.